Well, welcome to Stutter Talk, episode 575 for April 10th, 2016. I'm Peter Reitzis here in North Carolina in Carrboro, starting off with some good voluntary, fake, pseudo-stuttering, whatever you want to call it. And we have on the line via Skype in New York City in Manhattan, Christopher Schuyler. Hey, Chris.
Hi, how are you, Peter?
I am wonderful. Boy, that sounds immodest, doesn't it? I'm doing well. Good morning.
I think it's fine to be wonderful. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's been a good morning. Hiking with the kids, climbing on vines, good stuff. Christopher Schuyler hails from Easton, Pennsylvania, which is right outside of Philadelphia. Mr. Schuyler is 31 years old and is a corporate attorney working in New York City, a marathoner, and he lives in Brooklyn. So, Chris, I'll just tell you briefly, I was born in Wilmington, Delaware, right outside of Philadelphia myself. Oh. So I sure miss cheesesteaks and hoagies here in North Carolina.
Yeah, sure.
So you've been involved in the self-help community for about a year, and you're trying to reconcile wanting to speak easily and smoothly while also feeling it is okay to stutter. And you've said that you find these concepts hard to fit into a coherent approach because it always seems like you need to choose one or the other. So either stuttering openly a lot or simply working to reduce stuttering at all costs. So is it okay to pursue both? Talk us through your thoughts on this issue.
Yeah, well that's really a challenging question for me right now. I've been stuttering for since I was about 4 years old. So that's it's been 26 years of my life or so, and for the vast majority of that time, I've been a covert stutterer, which is to basically do everything I can to keep people from understanding or from noticing that I stutter, and so in order to keep up that kind of illusion, you work through all these different techniques of breathing exercises and all kinds of things like that, and so I just have a lot of kind of built up many built up systems to believe that stuttering is not ideal, is not what I want to be doing. But at the same time, and why this is challenging, is because I know that at this point in my life, I pretty well understand that remaining covert is mostly causing anxiety for me, and so intellectually I understand that stuttering is okay, and so I'm kind of starting to ramble now, so maybe I don't want to go too much further. I'm not sure I answered the question completely.
No, but that's okay, because this is something that I think many people who stutter face. So I'm of the mind that it's okay to stutter, and it's okay to want to stutter differently or stutter less and to have some control over the stuttering. And people who stutter have a wide range of views on this. I mean, there are people who stutter who think that it's very oppressive to want to manage speech at all. And there's other people who stutter who think it's oppressive to fight through every word and sound and not somehow focus on moving forward through speech. So I'll give it back to you that I think it's fine to want to do both. Is there a specific reason why you think that why it's hard for you to sort of accept the acceptance of stuttering and that you want to speak more easily?
Yes. I feel like where I am with kind of understanding that concept is that it feels like there's, I feel like I'm in sort of a limbo or like kind of a middle, I'm in kind of a middle ground where it seems to me that you know, it just can be, it can be confusing. Like it kind of depends on the day. Whereas, you know, some days I can, you know, naturally I am stuttering more. And so I guess, you know, it's funny as I'm hearing myself describe this, I know I'm having trouble articulating the idea. And I think that's kind of part of it, is it just feels, it feels complicated. Like knowing, or knowing for myself that it's okay to stutter and to allow myself to, you know, give up some of the struggle to use techniques. But at the same time, with all this background, in using techniques, it's really hard to let that go at the same time. So it feels like it would be easier if I could just like pick a side. And so I guess as you open with, I mean, I've been sort of actively involved in this self-help community for about a year. And this is something of, you know, kind of a new question that I've been wrestling with for, you know, the past, I don't know, past month or two. And so I've really kind of experienced a lot of new things in the past year.
I think you just explained that really well, this idea of perhaps feeling a need to pick a side. So some people who stutter and some professionals who work with stuttering think that, and this might be a oversimplification, but they think that before one can work on speaking differently, you have to first let your stuttering out. You first have to be willing to be in public a person who stutters. You have to be willing to stutter openly and talk about your stuttering. And then, only then, can one work on changing how you talk. Now, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that's what some people think. What do you make of that notion?
Well, yeah, I think that rings with some truth to me, you know, and so a big part of doing this episode today is sort of is that effort, you know, to help myself to be more comfortable in public as a stutterer. And so I subscribe to that notion. I think there's some truth to that.
So I want to let the listeners know that we're featuring some members of the New York City chapters of the National Stuttering Association. And so last week we spoke to Emma Alpern and to Stavros Ladeas. And now this week we're speaking to Christopher Schuyler. And in the coming weeks, we're going to speak to some more members of the NYC chapters of the National Stuttering Association. So to contact the National Stuttering Association, go to westutter.org. That's their website. And one of the reasons we're speaking to you is to help promote the upcoming May 15th workshop in Manhattan that's being sponsored by the New York City chapters of the National Stuttering Association. So that workshop is titled The Past, Present, and Future of Stuttering. Event details are at nycstutters.org, nycstutters.org. And of course, all these links will be up at stuttertalk.com at episode 575. And in a little bit, Chris, I'm going to ask you some questions about that workshop. So let me ask.
Sounds
great. Oh, awesome. So you heard the episode last week with Stavros and Emma, and you really agree with something that Stavros Ladeas said on episode 574 about being present with stuttering. So let's listen to that clip, and then I'm going to ask you about it.
Sure. Sounds good.
When we think about a cure, I think usually, at least in our culture, we think a lot when it comes to disabilities, when it comes to stuttering. If you don't understand something, you usually think there's a fix for it. And speaking for myself, I know there's no cure for my stuttering that would make me speak fluently and also be present. And I guess for me, the cure is allowing myself to stutter openly and be present and be more of an effective communicator.
So, Chris, what does it mean to you to be present with your stuttering, or why is this idea important to you?
Well, so that's I really liked hearing Stavros bring that up in the podcast. You know, it's funny. I was actually with my girlfriend in Massachusetts at the time. It was I heard it last Sunday, and we were actually running a half marathon in Gloucester, Massachusetts, and it was actually in the middle of a bit of a snowstorm. And I've kind of taken to this practice of listening to Sutter Talk podcasts when I've been running. And so I was out running and listening to this podcast, and I was really enjoying it. And then Stavros brought that notion up about remaining present when in the midst of a stutter. And that's something that I guess really resonates with me, because where I am in my own stuttering journey is that one of the hardest hurdles that I have currently is when I'm actually in the act of stuttering, I feel all kinds of tension. It feels very unrelaxed, to the point of it can start to kind of cloud my thoughts and cloud where I think I was going with whatever concept I was looking to get out. And my interpretation of what Stavros said is just sort of is you can be in the midst of a stutter and sort of just kind of comfortably know that you'll be all right. You're going to get through it. And, you know, and continue with your thought. And that's something that that was sort of my interpretation of that.
Hmm. Wow. That when he spoke about being present with your stuttering, and I think he really contrasted that with seeking fluency, like they're opposite things, or at least can be opposite things. Mm-hmm. That really stopped me. It really spoke to me. And just very personally, I worked on voluntary stuttering perhaps every day or almost every day for about 3 or more years. And one of the reasons I did that was to be present, was so that when other people were talking, I could listen. It sounds like you have a goal of being present as well. What's one way that you're thinking about, that you're working on being present?
Well, I think where I'm at right now is I guess I'm kind of watching other people who stutter. As I mentioned before, I've been sort of actively participating in the different stuttering support groups here in New York City, and getting to know and becoming friends with a lot of the members of these groups, and so really where I'm at is I'm kind of dipping my toes in the water and not fully jumping in yet. And I've mostly been sort of like watching and taking the example from the other members of the groups that I see, and seeing how they do it. And so that's sort of been my involvement at this point with voluntary stuttering and those concepts.
This is Stutter Talk. Peter Reitz is here with Christopher Schuyler, who is a corporate attorney working in New York City and a marathoner. Wow. I just broke my foot a few months ago, running a mere 7 miles. But I'm an old man with kids and a dog. So you might find this hard to believe, but I'm a little bit envious of where you are right now with your stuttering, because as much as it was, I had a lot of hard years with stuttering. Mm-hmm. When I found self-help in New York City, while things were still hard, I felt like a weight had been lifted off of me, like handcuffs taken off of me. So while there was still a lot of work to do, just having good people around to support me. I just felt so strong. And it sounds like you've got some great friends and mentors and support people there in the city. So I'm happy for you and a little bit envious.
Yeah, thank you. I guess when you first started saying that, I was like, envious. That's interesting. But I can see that. I certainly that was sort of my feeling when I first started. I finally got to some of these groups. Just sitting somewhere and hearing several people stutter with each other was, you know, as a 30-year-old man at the time, you know, it was the first time I had really ever done that. And through continually going to different groups, becoming more comfortable with that, really. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a work in progress, but it was certainly a weight lifted.
So this question might sound a little self-serving, but I am really interested. So in our correspondence, I see that you were listening to Stutter Talk before you found your local National Stuttering Association chapter.
Yeah.
So before you were hanging out in person with other people who stutter. So what was it like to listen to Stutter Talk before knowing other stutterers?
Yeah, I'm really glad you asked that question. I think I first came across Stutter Talk maybe 5 years ago, and at the time I was actually in law school, and so there's all kinds of cliches and understandings and misunderstandings about law school, but one of the things that tends to be true is it's a somewhat intense environment. Full of kind of focused and driven types of people. And while I included myself in that group, at the same time, I struggled in sort of the intense classrooms of 100, 150 people that would get called on at random and have to explain cases to the auditorium, you know, type seating. I went to law school far from my family. I was in law school in Ohio, and so I was kind of adjusting to that and feeling quite isolated. I think after so long of kind of feeling very isolated and different from all these other, you know, students in class who were, you know, quite good at speaking up, eventually I kind of got to a point where I just like needed to like feel connected to something. And I remember eventually going to Google or something and just like, just kind of randomly punching in, you know, different combinations of the word stutter, just finding what I could kind of read or somehow feel connected to the larger community. And so, I guess I used to listen to it, when I needed to feel some kind of connection and feel some comfort with, my own stutter. And so I think that might have opened up an answer to your question, but maybe you can help to get me back on track.
Oh no, that's all good. I guess I'm just curious on how people digest conversations like the ones on Stutter Talk, which I hear as very stutter friendly, stutter acceptance, stuttering is okay. Mm-hmm. How one digests that without knowing people personally who pursue that.
Yeah.
Does it sound crazy to you? Is it like, wait, I always knew this, thank God someone else is saying it.
Right. Thanks for the redirect. I think that's right. That's what I was getting to was kind of was my experience was pretty much remarkably, I can't remember who the guests were, but this was again five maybe 6 years ago. But I remember feeling like even though I didn't know the people at all, I remember like hearing what they were saying, and saying, "Oh yeah, like, I get that. That's me. You know, that's totally me." But where I was going to law school and just being focused on that, I didn't really seek out like any in-person groups, and I don't even know if they were available. And so I didn't know anybody. And I guess in truth, I don't think I was quite ready to be public with my own stuttering at that time. And so fast forward a number of years, I lived in New York, and, you know, again, I was, you know, working at this point and still remaining largely covert or basically entirely covert. And I eventually kind of decided that I needed to make some type of change. And so I sought out self-help groups, which in New York, fortunately, are available. And so I was, you know, I was lucky to have that.
Chris, I want to thank you for sharing that. And I don't know if our new listeners know this, but when Stutter Talk first started, I wasn't aware of any other audio formats where one could go to hear people stuttering. I mean, maybe there were YouTube videos, but I don't remember ever seeing one. So I mean, there perhaps was a YouTube video or two in 2007, but I remember when we started, folks were like, oh my goodness, I can't believe you're stuttering on the radio, you know, the radio being a podcast, and how much things have changed since 2007.
Yeah.
I was in my early 20s, maybe 22, when I first sought help, and we had the internet and we used to all go to the computer lab at college to use it, because it's not like you could access it from your room. Mm-hmm. And I don't ever remember considering looking up stuttering online. And mm-hmm. I think the main reason is because if you type stuttering into a search engine, it's somehow accepting that you are a stutterer.
Yeah.
And I wasn't there yet, but I did know that I needed help.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than type stuttering into a search engine, I went and asked a psychologist or two on my campus what I should do.
Mm.
So it is interesting now with the widespread use of the internet, how things are a little different now.
Yeah. Well, for me, I think it was, it was the reverse. I mean, for me, I went to Google and typed stuttering because in a way, while it was the beginning of admitting that I stutter and kind of it was sort of the beginning of my adult journey with stuttering, it was still more private than say even seeking a speech language pathologist or someone or something like that. That would be an admission to somebody else, whereas I could do stuttering in the privacy of my home. So that was my first step.
That's really interesting. So I don't know if I've ever shared this on air, but when I was a kid, my father was a CEO of a bank. He was also a professional poker player, but his 9-to-5 or really 10-to-10 job, I mean, he worked a lot of hours, was being the CEO of a bank. And when I was a kid, he used to always tell me to be a corporate attorney. And he would say, you know, that's where the money is. That's the good job. You should, when you grow up, consider being a corporate attorney. And I never was able to tell him, because I'd have to admit that I stuttered. I could never say to him, Dad, I don't want to be an attorney because attorneys have to talk. So in your job as a corporate attorney, how do you manage stuttering, and how much is stuttering a part of what you have to face at work?
Yeah. It's certainly a part of my job. I'm an early career attorney, so at this time I don't do a ton of presenting. However, that is the track that I'm on. And so that would become more and more of a part of what I would do. But it's at the same time, when I chose this profession, I was aware of that. So it was in a way I'm getting ready for it.
Because one will meet attorneys who stutter, who will say things, and this I've had this experience. Oh well, I'm not the kind of attorney that goes to court, so it's okay.
Sure.
Can you imagine yourself stuttering openly in a courtroom?
Well, that's sort of what I'm doing now. Where I'm at in my life is and a big part of what brought me into the self-help community in New York is the life that I want. I want to feel that I can go to court and I can do this and be competent and do a good job for my client. And so I need to I need to work on a new set of tools, to be effective at that.
One of the things that drove me to find speech therapy and self-help was when I was in college, I had an internship at a court in Manhattan. I was interning at a nonprofit, which meant I was at a court, and it was so stressful, and I was doing everything I could to hide my stuttering. And every now and then a judge or a lawyer would ask me a question and the whole room would look at me. Mm-hmm. And I found myself doing everything I could to hide my stuttering and I wasn't able to hide it anymore. And I just want to say for anyone listening at home who is dreading stuttering in a court, in my experience, it was a lot worse to avoid stuttering in a court. I wish I would have, it's easy to say this in retrospect, but I kind of wish I would have just stuttered.
The way that I currently envision it is I will be able to kind of clearly get across that I'm a person who stutters. I am prepared for for this court presentation. I know what I'm here to do. Understand that I'm a person who stutters, and let's get on with it.
So I mentioned last week on Stutter Talk that I will probably be a witness in a court case. And I'm going to say again, I'm not in any trouble, but sometimes in life, you get called as a witness. And I gave a deposition, and in my deposition, and there was a lot of attorneys in the room, there's a court reporter, I very openly said, I'm a person who stutters. And I even turned to the person who was doing the typing. And I said to her something funny, like I might be repeating myself a lot. And she just laughed. And she even said to me, I have a family member who stutters. And it was like an instant connection. And nobody cared that somebody who's supposed to just take notes said something to me. So, in this one sample size, this one experience, it was very good for me to mention that I stuttered because it got it out of the way. Mm-hmm. And then if an hour into speaking, if I'm getting tired and I start to stutter more, then it won't be a huge surprise because I let people know. Do you think about any of this stuff when you have to speak in a court-like situation?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I mean, I think that your experience with the court reporter is not a unique experience. I think most people have some understanding or some connection with stuttering or with people who stutter, and so this is not really a foreign concept. I think that if you're clear that you stutter and you make it known without expressing sort of a shame or embarrassment attached to it, but just a matter of fact approach, I think you're really, I feel like you got to be good to go after that.
This is Stutter Talk. Peter Reitzis with Christopher Schuyler. And Chris is a member of one of the New York City chapters of the National Stuttering Association. Now, do you go to several chapter meetings in Manhattan and Brooklyn, or is there one chapter that you usually stick to?
Yeah, I've been going to, we have meetings in Manhattan and also in Brooklyn. And they're on, so the Brooklyn meeting, I believe, is the second Monday of every month, and then the Manhattan meeting is the third Monday of every month. And so I'm fortunate to be able to go to both. And I live in Brooklyn, so I'm actually in walking distance of the first meeting, and then I actually work close to where the the Manhattan meeting is. And so it's kind of perfect for me.
It sounds kind of perfect, ideal. So as we've mentioned on air, that the New York City chapters of the NSA are hosting a one-day workshop for people who stutter, for adults and mature teens, on May 15th, 2016 in Manhattan, titled The Past, Present, and Future of Stuttering. Event details are at nycstutters.org. The keynote presenter is the great Barry Yeoman, who is a professional journalist and a Stutter Talk contributor. And you guys are also bringing in Christopher Constantino, who's going to be presenting or talking on a disability rights topic. And he's also a Stutter Talk host. Are you involved with this workshop, and what do you want to tell us about it?
Yes. I'm kind of working as part of a committee of several people in the area, who, including Emma and Stavros, your guests last week. And so we're all kind of putting together different ideas for workshops for this day. So we're kind of working furiously, planning everything and, you know, trying to get everyone locked in for it, as speakers and all that. So it's very much in the planning stage, and we're making really good progress on it.
Well, I truly wish I could attend. I mean, it's just not in the cards for me right now. I'm just too busy with home life and work, but I will be there in spirit.
It should be a good day.
So as you were starting to seek out self-help, you said to me that you were worried about becoming, quote, increasingly comfortable with the pain of missed opportunities, which you liken to a small form of death. It's just beautifully said. Can you talk to us about, I mean, I didn't quote you beautifully. I sort of mangled it, but could you talk to us
about? Yeah, well, that's it's kind of intense. It's an intense thing. It goes that when I wrote you that, I was also linking it to sort of my approach when as I grew up with a stutter, my approach with dealing with stuttering was to basically just kind of throw myself into different situations, that might involve speaking. And I guess just kind of just forcing myself to do things. And so whether that be, volunteer for classroom plays, school plays and things like that, and public speaking courses, I would do it mostly because I didn't see a really good alternative. I felt that the world wasn't going to do me any favors as a person who stuttered, and so I needed to get used to just being out there and doing what I wanted to do, despite the risk or the fear of stuttering. To link it to this kind of getting used to missed opportunities and that being kind of a small form of death, which is again very intense way of putting it, I understand, but I guess for me it was like if I kind of let myself not embrace opportunities or if I started avoiding things because I was scared of stuttering, in a way I'd be kind of taking myself, I'd be removing myself from kind of living a full life and what I want to accomplish, and in a way, I guess that to me that does seem to be a small form of death.
I completely agree. I don't think it's overly dramatic at all, and it's reminding me of my own childhood because I was about to say I used to fool myself, but I always knew what I was doing even if I wouldn't fully admit it to myself. But I used to do this thing where I would talk in class and I would ask mm-hmm. questions, but it was always with total and complete avoidance. Mm-hmm. So if I felt like I could speak without stuttering, I would talk. Mm-hmm. And it was sort of like saying to myself, oh, I'm here. But I was never present in the way that I wanted to be present.
Yeah.
I mean, would you mind sharing, is there anything regarding your stuttering that you're really working on now that you haven't achieved yet?
Yeah, well, that was, so what you just shared, that was my experience too. So, I mean, I guess anytime I opened my mouth in class or whatever, there was certainly the fear of stuttering, but I generally would be employing so many different techniques largely I wouldn't be stuttering mostly. But I also share that feeling of kind of while I was somewhat facing the fear of stuttering just by putting myself out there, I still didn't feel like I was authentically communicating because I may have been switching words or if I felt like it was a bad stuttering day, I'd be less likely to raise my hand or things like that. So I did feel that it wasn't a fully authentic type of communication. And I guess where I'm at now is while I still want to be able to speak somewhat easily without too much struggle, I also want to be okay with using certain words that I know have given me trouble in the past or things like that. I want to just be more open to stuttering.
So a few weeks ago, I had on the guest Leah Graham, and she's also new to self-help. I think she's new to self-help, but I'm not exactly sure how new. But regardless, I asked her, how okay do you have to be with stuttering? And she said about 75%. And I sort of loved that because it's a little refreshing, because there is a trend in self-help and it's so well intentioned, but there is a trend or an expectation sometimes that people who stutter have to be 100% with their stuttering. And I've actually said to some professionals I know involved in self-help and also to just some self-help people, well, I don't agree with that. I don't expect myself to be 100% okay with something that's really hard to deal with and that has a lifetime of baggage attached to it. So with all that preemptive stuff there, or all that preamble, I should say, how okay do you expect yourself, or how okay do you want to be with stuttering?
Right. I really can relate to that idea of how okay do I want to be? Well, about 75%. I think that's a really cool concept, because the truth in the matter is that what? It's something like 1% of the population stutter, or whatever the figure is. It's some small amount. And so the rest of the world will not – and so the world's not going to necessarily, make it easier for people to stutter. It's not – I may be speaking something like somewhat out of my expertise, but I just mean to say that that most people are not going to be stuttering. So you don't see that all the time in the world. And so there's so much reinforcement that this is an unusual thing, or that you're different or other than. And so it's hard to be, I think it's hard to be 100% okay with stuttering all the time, because not everyone does stutter. And so you are different. So to be 75% okay with stuttering, which is most of the time, that's a pretty good thing. I think it's a realistic goal.
And how much do you want to be able to control or manage your stuttering, whether that's with stuttering less, stuttering easily, stuttering openly, something that folks call fluency? I mean, how much do you want to move through words?
Yeah, that's a really, I think that's a hard question to answer. You know, because I wonder if my answer today would be different than if you asked me that question again a year from now, or if you would have asked me that question a year ago. You know, I think where I am now is, it's something, you know, kind of like a 75%. I'd like to be able to put together most of my sentences without too much of a struggle. But the occasional blocking, I guess I want to become more okay with that too.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And let me present something to you to get your thoughts. I also really liked what Stavros said on Stutter Talk last week. And it just popped into my head. I do want to be present with my stuttering, but for me, it's really hard to be present with my stuttering if I don't believe, if I don't have the confidence that I can move through a block. Mm. It's really hard for me to be present in a conversation if I am stuck on a word and I'm fighting to get through it, and then I find myself losing the thought and having trouble with formulation of language. What are your thoughts on that aspect of being present with stuttering, being present?
Yeah, I think that's really kind of, you know, I think stutterers, we all kind of stutter different ways, and we probably have different specific struggles when it comes to stuttering. For me, you know, my greatest struggle is the block. You know, in a way, I'm much more comfortable with the things like that. But when I simply can't get sound to come out, or I guess the really hard stutters, for instance, I've been stuttering a lot recently on W words, especially the word with, and so things like that, just that sort of that lack of feeling of any control and sort of a powerlessness with it is one of the biggest challenges for me when it comes to stuttering.
We are kindred spirits. I am from Wilmington, Delaware, and the W shape, I feared it for 20 plus years, or, mm-hmm. you know, about 20 years. I was terrified of W's because, you know, where are you from? You go to college. Where are you from? The first state. What's that? It's a small state. Oh, you're from Rhode Island? Nope, the other small state. Okay, this guy's weird. He won't tell me where he's from. The D in Delaware. So, yes, I... right there with you. So, Chris, you mentioned being authentic with stuttering, and I love the flavor of regions with stuttering, because I know many people in the New York area because I lived there for so long, and because the B team, because Karen was in New York and Roisin, and this idea of authentic stuttering really seems to be, to some extent, coming out of New York. I mean, the term might be used elsewhere, but I hear authentic stuttering from so many people involved in New York City stuttering. Maybe part of it's coming from the American Institute for Stuttering, not sure. But what does authentic stuttering mean to you?
Well, I guess, you know, can you describe more of what your understanding of that term is? I think maybe I'm aware, but maybe if you can put some more words to it, it may help me out.
Well, it's sort of tricky because it's kind of like fluency. I think it might mean different things to different people. So in some sense, I get the idea it means it's okay to stutter, but then I don't know. I mean, like maybe to some people, authentic stuttering means I'm just going to stutter openly and not try to change how I stutter. Maybe authentic stuttering means I'm going to talk about stuttering and be okay with it and allow it to happen. I'm not exactly sure. But like, what are you looking for, or how are you using the term? And I'm sorry to put it back on you, but I love I love the term, well, but I imagine it means different things a little bit to different people.
Okay, well, I can approach that, but I definitely can't speak from a place of New York City stutterers in general, or how the community is using this term.
So I'll just make the question: what's authentic stuttering to you, or what's an authentic way to live with stuttering?
I think for me, just the authentic stuttering will be when I can walk into a business meeting, and introduce myself to people as I want to, without a crippling fear of will I stutter on my, when I say my name is Christopher Schuyler, or if I stutter on my first name, or, and if I do stutter, to be able to quickly say, and look the person I'm speaking to, look them in the eyes and say, oh, I'm a person who stutters. And so I sometimes have trouble on certain words. And just to be very direct and I guess comfortable with that, and not let it limit, limit what I can accomplish in my life and what I want to do.
Stutter Talk. Peter Wrights is here in North Carolina with Christopher Schuyler, who is a corporate attorney, joining us via Skype from New York City. Chris, so you're fairly new to self-help. You've been involved for about a year. So for someone who is not involved in stuttering self-help, but might be listening to this podcast as they're running in Central Park or Prospect Park or wherever, why should they consider getting involved in stuttering support?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think, I speak for myself. The reason why I eventually did reach out to self-help and kind of sort of working in that community is while I've been able to do things that I wanted to do with my life, I still, on a day-to-day basis, felt limited by stuttering and kind of, if I had to answer a phone call and do all kinds of things, and it's just like everything just seemed very difficult, and I wanted just to kind of, I really hoped that there was a way to make these kind of these daily tasks seem just a little bit easier. And I guess so far in the year or so that I've been actively kind of working in self-help is it's given me some help, some hope that I can get there. I can get there as far as, just being more okay with my day-to-day, with stuttering and accomplishing my goals. And so that's so far has been working for me.
So I do this all the time. I said that was the last question, but let me bring up one more thing. So I quickly Googled authentic stuttering, and there's something that I want to read to you. It's by Gina Davis, and she wrote it at the ISAD page from 2015. And here's what this is part of what she wrote. When I think about living an authentic life as a person who stutters, I try to honestly ask myself what my personal values are and aim to make choices that align with those values, regardless of how stuttering might or might not factor in. So in this example, it sounds like authentic stuttering is doing what you want to do, whether you stutter or not. I kind of like that. Would you like a last comment on that?
Yeah, I think that's a really good way of sort of summing up what I feel about stuttering. I just want to be able to do what I want to do, what I want to accomplish, and I don't want to have that voice in my head, you know, that's constantly there I shouldn't try to pursue this and in business because it may require that it may require, you know, some type of speaking here or you know, I can't call that restaurant for reservation because I will stutter on the word reservation, you know, and it's just like, I just want to be able to do, you know, each of these things without that voice, you know, discouraging me from doing it. So that's sort of, yeah, I think she did a really nice job of summing it up.
And that is a great place to leave it. I want to encourage folks in the New York City area to consider checking out the upcoming workshop, The Past, Present, and Future of Stuttering. Details at nycstutters.org. And I wish I could be there. Chris, it was great to have you on Stutter Talk. Thanks so much, man.
Thank you very much for having me, Peter.